Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy New Year, and may God bless all of you in this year. Would you please bow with me? Before we even approach your throne, most gracious and loving and merciful and disciplined God, we thank you and ask you for forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for this new year. We thank you for, Lord God, for your word. Let us create in our minds and heart an identity, a Christian identity. What does that mean? How does that look? Coming together as one, not just in this building, but when we are outside this building, to send kind words to each other, to celebrate each other, to lift each other up. For God creating us to not look for man's praise or man's examination of who we are. For you created a masterpiece in each one of us, and you are refining your masterpiece. We must stay open and be fluent to re-examine his word and re-examine ourselves as a people who are Christians in this day and time. We thank you, God, for your mercy, for your goodness, but most of all, your discipline. You discipline us without breaking us. You discipline us to bring us closer to you to be used for your purpose that you have placed us in this earth. We thank you, Lord, for this new year. We thank you, Lord, for our sisters and brothers. We thank you, Lord, for a portion of health that we could witness to, especially people in our own households. We thank you, Lord. We celebrate this first service of this new year. Amen. We will look at 1 John 5:6. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Let us be not only hearers, but doers of God's word. Amen.
Sunlight in which speaker going to come before us to break unto us thoughts on his heart. On third stanza, we are all standing. Walking in sunlight all of my journey over the mountain through the deep veil. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Oh, heavenly sun, heavenly sun, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. Shadows around me, but me, never concealed my Savior and God. He is the light, in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Oh, heaven, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah. I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine. In the bright sun, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above. Singing his praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight of love. Oh, heavenly sunlight,
help.
Flooding
my soul with glory divine.
Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is mine.
John 19, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. You may see it. I'll say good morning and certainly a happy new year. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a visitor or virtual guest, I'm grateful that God has brought us together for yet an opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those who be the saints of God. And shortly I'm opening my Bible to several scriptures. I have several scriptures today, not anything in particular we're going to nail down, but we're going to be rifling through a lot of scriptures this morning. And my invitation for you to join me there is these scriptures will serve as a context for today's lesson entitled Blood and Water. Blood and Water. Now I want to say that the theme that I've adopted for this year, and I hope that you will too, I want to invite you to adopt the same theme, is that in this year of our Lord 2026, we want to be able to strengthen our hearts in all things concerning our lives. Let's strengthen our hearts. And more than anything else, we need to sharpen our vision as we look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our lives. So let's strengthen our hearts in all things concerning God, and let's sharpen our vision as we look to a future in heaven with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there's much to be said about the close bond that usually exists between members of the Lord's church. There's a lot to be said about that. And no matter what the size of the church is, that close bond should very well still exist. The fact of the matter is that the church was never intended by God to be a lecture hall, never intended by God to be a corporation or even a social club. The church was intended by God to be just what it is. It is a family. It is God's family. The Church of Christ is a group of people who can share their lives with one another, who truly enjoy being with one another, and who freely turn to one another in times of need. That's our identity. We sometimes hear it said that blood is thicker than. We've heard that over and over and over again. And what we mean is that we consider our family relationship to be the most important relationship in the world, right? We ought to consider our family relationship to be the most important relationship in the world, but most times that's where the dysfunctionalism comes in. There's something real special, I gotta tell you. There's something special about family. And as I like to say all the time, it ain't nothing like family. Ain't nothing like family. I mean, you've seen a brother and sister. They fight like cats and dogs. I got the front seat. No, I got the front. I'm sitting here. You sit. They fight like cats and dogs. But if someone else begins to pick on the little sister or the big brother, one of them going to step in. And you got to get through them before you get through to the sister or the brother. You got to deal with them as well. And I wonder why is that? Because no matter what your disagreements may be in your family, no matter what it is with each other, even when we fall away from each other and we have strained relationships, I'm here to tell you, whatever your disagreement might be, blood is thicker than water. Your family ought to be important to you, important enough for you to be able to just, listen to me, to just get along. And so many would say that the family relationships are the most important things on the face of this earth. There's no limit. There shouldn't be any limit as to what you would do for your family, even to the point of hurt. And as Christians, we know very well that God holds a family in high regard. I don't have to tell you this morning that family is important to God. We all recognize the importance of the husband and wife relationship, the parent-child relationship, the brother-sister relationship. And yet there are some passages in the Bible that make it very clear that there's a relationship that is even more important to us. And that relationship sometimes, through the passage that we have in Scripture, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable, because in Matthew 10, 34 through 37, Jesus said, "Don't think I've come to bring peace on this earth. I've not come to bring peace but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household." And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. "Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And we look at that and we take it with a grain of salt. We don't consider what Jesus is saying here at all, because it tends to make us a little bit uncomfortable. Sometimes in our lives we are forced to make tough choices. And sometimes we're forced to make tough choices even between God and our family. Amen? It's a tough choice sometimes. And there are real instances when a decision is made to become a Christian, and no matter whether it's an adult conscious decision or not, sometimes the parents, they stand in the way. They get right in the way of the salvation of that person. What do they say? "Nah, if you become a Christian, you're not living in this house no more." That's real. This is the world we live in. If you become a Christian, you got to get out. I've experienced some of that myself. Mom wouldn't put me out, but at the time she wasn't a Christian. And she says, "Don't come in the store talking about Christ no more." Why? Because every time I would go to visit her, she would call these three Baptist preachers to come over to the store and try to teach me a lesson. By the time we got finished, they were fumbling within themselves, fussing within themselves, and she's crying and she's putting me out. That's all right. God worked it all out. And at 65 years of age, my mom became a... Isn't God good? And now I'm putting her out. Listen, parents sometimes stand in the way, right? But still, in all of that, the commitment is still made. The choice was rendered to put God in front of the family, and that God was the most important person in all of life. And he should be, and he ought to be, because it's a tough choice to make. But there's a calling that is higher than blood, because blood is not always thicker than water. The truth is, we sometimes have problems if family is our number one priority. We have problems with that. For one thing, there's a lot of people that get left out. Because if you're not in a family, you're apt to be very lonely, even sometimes in our churches. I've heard expressed sometimes, some folks have come to me over the years, and they says, "You know, Brother Collins, it's very difficult sometimes to sit in worship service as a single adult." Anybody ever think about that? That's not a single adult. It's very hard sometimes to sit in worship service as a single adult, because everybody else has their family with them. You got your mom and your dad, all the kids sitting together, one big happy family. And sometimes I feel if I don't have that, I feel a bit awkward. I feel a little bit out of place because I don't have my family with me. A lot of people pray that their families would come back to Christ, that they'd come together and worship God in spirit and in truth in the assembly. And some people just don't have that. For some Christians, the topic is a painful one when you talk about family. Sometimes counselors listen to deeply troubled people. And when you listen to these deeply troubled people, the one thing that's common that they talk about almost is family. Talk about family. And how family affects this and family affects that. And listen, if you've experienced problems in your family, if your family has been a source of pain in your life, you need somewhere to turn to. You need someone to lean on. You need someone who will be there when the family lets you down. And every last one of us have experienced problems in our family. Am I right? They were not always there. They've let us down countless times. And we've let them down as well, and we've not always been there. We're talking about family. We're talking about people who love each other or should love each other. That's where the church comes in. When the family lets you down, that's where the church comes in. Because the church is family even when we don't have any other family. The church is family even when the physical family lets us down. In Mark chapter 3, verses 31 through 35, we read that Jesus' mother and his brother, they came and they standing outside, sent him and called him. And the crowd was sitting around him and they said to him, your mother and your brothers are outside. They're looking for you. And he answered them, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. I want you to look around this morning. Look around you. This is your family. Look around you. And if you don't know who your family is, you ought to know who your family is. Look around you. This is your family. And there's something even deeper here than a physical family relationship. It is. You see, the waters of baptism bring you into a family where God is your father and Jesus Christ is your elder brother. And that's what I want to suggest to you this morning. That water is thicker than blood. Water is thicker than blood. The book of Acts chapter 8 gives us an idea of what I'm talking about. The problem here in Acts chapter 8 is a problem of blood. It's blood everywhere. Some of the blood flows through the Jews and some of it flows through the Samaritans. And if blood is always thicker than water, then those two groups can never come together because they worship in different places, in Jerusalem and in Gerizim. They emphasize different parts of the Old Testament. They have different traditions. They have different customs. And as a result, the Jews and Samaritans, they just avoid each other. Anybody ever avoid anybody religiously? Just get out of their way. Your witness knock on the door, right? Looking through them blind. Right? Listen, the Jews would travel miles out of their way to keep from walking on Samaritan soil. They would. All of them except for one Jew. His name was Jesus, of course. And when he stopped at a well in Samaria, a woman said to him in John 4:9, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. No dealings at all. So why are you asking me for water when we two different people? Hello? Why are you asking me for water when we two different people that have different color skin? Why are you asking me for water when our intellect is different? Why are you asking me for water when our dialect is different? Why are you asking me for water when we don't even dress alike? Why are you asking me for water when you serve the God that you want to serve and I serve the God? Why are you asking me for water? And yet in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12, we find Philip preaching to the Samaritans. And when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And it went out across the land that there was an inclusion now of Jews and Gentiles. And if blood is always thicker than water, then you got to have two different churches, right? You got to have the Jewish church here and the Samaritan church over there. They can't have anything to do with each other. They got to worship in two different churches. Does that sound familiar today? I don't have nothing to do with you. You go to your church, I'm going to go to mine. Because we're two different people. I don't have anything to do with you. You go to your church, and I'm going to go to mine because we don't look alike. There's husband and wives. Have mercy. Who live in the same house and they worship God differently. Some worship God and some don't. I'm just saying. So you have this mix where the Philippian people were being converted to Christ. So whose church were they going to go to? blood is thicker than water, if baptism brings us to something that's deeper than just family, then there is hope beyond our prejudices. Because even in this day and age that we live, some of us don't want to go to church with people who look different than us. Happy New Year. It's 2026. Some of us don't want to do it. Some of us don't want to go to church with people whose hair is different than ours. Let me just hit you with this one real quick. You know, this was given to us by a great philosopher. This is my wife's dad. This is what he said. He was talking about hair and how hair was bad, napping, all that stuff. You know what the philosopher said, Donald Wilson? He said, all hair is good. So if you don't want to go to church with me because my hair ain't good, what does it have to do with God? It's our own personal prejudices that we put in the way of our relationships with family or who could potentially be our family. Because we don't want it, we don't want anybody else to have it at all either. We're talking about family. There's too much dysfunctionalism that goes on in a family, and it ought not be. We're talking about brothers and sisters. We're talking about mothers and daughters. We're talking about fathers and sons. We're talking about you and God, dysfunctionalism in your relationship. Because God says, how can you love me if you don't love your brother? Look at who's sitting beside you. How can you love me if the one that's sitting beside you, you can't even get along with? I wish all of us could sit on the front pew. I really do. I wish all of us can sit beside each other. I wish all of us can sit on top of each other because of the love that we profess for God. Don't we all profess love for God? Then if you are, then let's sit on top of each other. Let's be about each other. Let's be family. Later on in the same chapter, in Acts chapter 8, there's an Ethiopian eunuch. He's been on his way to Jerusalem to worship. He's on his way back. A man of faith, but this man of faith, he was kind of on the inside and kind of on the outside. You ever consider that? He was kind of on the inside. He was a man who worshiped God, the Bible says, but he was kind of on the inside and kind of on the outside because he was a man who obviously loved to worship God because in the great distance he traveled to get to Jerusalem. But once he got there, man, oh man, anybody ever got to the church and they turn you away? I'm sure that happens in some instances because of the way you look or who you are or even what you might have on. Sometimes it's because of the way that you smell. People will turn you away for any particular reason they want to. The eunuch got to the temple in Jerusalem. But once he got there, you know what he had to face? Get from me Deuteronomy 23:1. He who is emasculated by crushing or mutilation shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Got all the way there from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. And here is the law. Did you hear that? A eunuch shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. He was excluded from the temple. Think about that. How would you like to have been one of those people and hear those words come to you when you're at the door of the church? Travel all the way from Ethiopia. You get to Jerusalem, hundreds of miles, days on end, wishing you can just go into the temple area and worship God. And somebody comes out and they says, no, 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 no. Like Gramps, you ain't coming in here. Mm-mm. But the scriptures are clear. You can't come in because the eunuch should not enter the assembly of the Lord. And the eunuch becomes devastated because he would never have a family. And all of Israel's survival was based on family. Through the Old Testament, children were always paraded and praised as a reward from God. Children were a sign of divine favor from God. So the law of Moses said that the eunuch can never enter the temple and praise God with the rest of those folks who've been blessed by God to have family. Isn't that sad? Couldn't go in. Think about that. Think about this morning if you couldn't come in here to worship God in spirit and truth. If somebody stood at that door and says, you ain't coming in here. Think about that. And why can't I come in is my question. Why will you not let me in is my question. Because you're not Jesus. That's why you're not letting him in. Because Jesus says, I'm going to stand at the door and I'm going to knock for you. And I'm only going to come in if you let me in. Right? Some of us have never let Jesus in, so we ain't let nobody else in either. Think about that. We live in 2026. Let him in. Let him in. So let's pick up where the eunuch is riding in his chariot on the way home. He's reading from the book of Isaiah. And maybe he's starting at around chapter 56, verses 3 through 5. Might have been one of his favorite passages. Look what it says. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than the sons and daughters. Doesn't that sound a lot better than Deuteronomy 23? That you can't come in because you emasculated? Doesn't that sound better than that? But then God says, I will give them an everlasting name. They shall not be cut off. Double meaning? Double meaning here. Don't miss it. There's a part of them that has been cut off. But God says, I will give them a name that nobody will be able to cut off. And it makes sense to me as I look at the word that the eunuch is studying from the book of Isaiah. Because when you get right down to the edge of the assembly and you're turned away, it's only natural that you'd want to read from Isaiah. Because Isaiah is a book that's filled with hope for a better day, especially for those that were foreigners and eunuchs. They will never be turned away from God ever again. And we find ourselves usurping our authority sometimes. Because even though people are born into our families, we still want to turn them away because of our own selfish desires. We turn them away. We push them away. For what? Then we realize in our own agony that we're going to need those same people that we turned away. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to help you. They're going to help you. So the Ethiopian continued reading Isaiah. He read about someone who took our infirmities and our sorrows. He says, if this dry tree is going to have the temple of the Lord someday, I'm going to be able to go in. Somebody got to make that possible. So who is this man, Isaiah 53, that was stricken by God? Who is this man, Isaiah 53, that by him we were afflicted, he was afflicted because of us, who was pierced for our transgressions? Who is this man that was crushed for our iniquities and the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him? Who is this man by whose wounds we are healed? Who is this man? In Acts chapter 8:35, Philip opens up his mouth, and beginning with the same scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus Christ. And after hearing what Philip had to say about Jesus, the eunuch said in verse 36, here's water right here. Here's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip says, absolutely nothing. Let's go get it. Let's get it. Let's get it. And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when he came out of the water, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went away on his way rejoicing. It's a wonderful thing when you've been pushed away from your family, and all of a sudden you can find yourself sitting beside them all over again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To be just rejoined with family. It's wonderful. There are a lot of Christians that have walked away from God. Hear me now. Track with me for a while. A lot of people that have walked away from the family of God, and we still are their family. Are we looking for them? Do we miss them? Is it possible to go and get them? Now, they got to want to come back, right? Yeah. But they're not going to want to come back if you don't invite them back, if you don't change the things that made them leave in the first place, because, yeah, it was your fault. You just don't want to admit that. It was you. Some of it was them too, right? Let's look at it now. You're the one who put them out. All right, then. Listen. He baptized him, and he went on his way rejoicing. Because the words of Isaiah were very true, that water is thicker than blood. Because just before that, he had been a eunuch who had came from Ethiopia, and he didn't have a family. But now he was a brother in Christ. And the waters of baptism brought him to another blood. It brought him to the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that cleanses us from all of our sins. The blood that captures us and washes us and puts us into the family of God. And we come to Acts chapter 9. What about Saul? Because this was a guy who was looking for blood. He was tracking down Christians, rounding them up and throwing them in prisons and even kill them if it was necessary. And in Acts chapter 9, verse number 4, a light blinded him and a voice said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul's taken back to the city where he meets Ananias, who talks to him, and Ananias says, "Listen, you got to be a part of the family. Saul, Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise now, be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He was looking for blood, but he received the blood of Jesus Christ and became a part of the family of God. Water's thicker than blood. In Acts chapter 10, now we're really mixing blood, because we're going from the outcast Samaritans to Cornelius, who was a Gentile heathen. And Peter can't believe that God is going to send him to preach to a Gentile. It takes a while for God to convince him. But when God sends his Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his household, it's evident that God's hand was at work in the lives of Cornelius. And Peter said to his companions, obviously they have the same right we have to be baptized into Christ and to be part of our family. Everybody has a right to be part of our family, the family of God. And we can't decide who gets to come in and not come in. Can't decide that. But meanwhile, back in Jerusalem in chapter 11, the word spreads about what has happened. And the Jewish leaders, they're not happy with that Cornelius thing. So Peter goes back to Jerusalem, and the scripture tells us in Acts 11 and 2 that they even criticize him. But Peter says, you know, this is what God told me to do. And they stop complaining. At the end of it all, the bottom line is that water is thicker than blood. Look what Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 through 28. "For we're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." There's not a Jew. There's not a Greek. There's not a slave. There's no one that is free. There's not a male nor a female, for we all one in Christ Jesus. And we don't get to decide that, right? We baptize into Christ and become sons by faith in Christ, male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, all one in Christ. But there are a lot of divisions that exist in this world. And a lot of those divisions are blood divisions, fused between different families, because you're not going to marry this one, or you got to marry that one, or you're not going to live here, you got to live. A lot of divisions in this world because of blood, fused between different families, different tribes, and different races. But we don't have those divisions in the church, right? We don't have those divisions in the church, right? Right? Let me tell you something. What baptism does is it takes away all those old categories and divisions, and it breaks them down. Because the church ought to be and is a place where you can be accepted regardless of what your background or station in life is. Regardless of whether you're Jew or Gentile, American or Ethiopian, Puerto Rican, white, black, Asian or Hispanic, regardless of whether you're single or married, regardless of whether you're divorced or widowed, none of these things matter to Christ. And it ought not matter to, but it does. Because we are the ones that push people away from, because they don't see God in us. They don't see that family in us. But I'm so grateful here at 431 Franklin that when you walk through that door, that's all you're going to see is family. And I'm grateful to be a part of that. I am. Because I can come in and I can relax among my family. That's an important word, among my family. And we ought to feel that way about each other, that this is my family. If you don't feel that this is your family, then you ought to do something to make that happen. Am I right? Don't sit around and wait for somebody else to make it happen. You make it happen. God values family. And there is a central place for family in all of our lives. But then there's a larger group where water is thicker than blood. We're talking about the church. And is that baptism into Christ is the point which the church gathers around. And you know what the church says? Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. And it's nothing like it nowhere, because there's something significant about that. Because you were born into an earthly family and you had no choice about it. You couldn't say, oh, I don't want you to be my mama. You didn't have a choice. You didn't get to choose your father, your brothers, or your sisters. And if you could have, you chose different ones. Listen, when you became a Christian, you were born again into a family, into this family. And let me tell you something. You didn't have a choice about it. And in this family, there's something greater than just chromosomes drawing us together. There's this water of baptism. There's this blood of Jesus Christ behind that baptism that means so much. It's like the song we sing. It's like the tie that binds us together. And that tie is bounded on the truth that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we all have been baptized into his death. I know in the world, there's a lot of clubs in the world and lodges where people address each other like sisters and brothers. But in the church, those words are not just empty titles. They're just not. Within this church family, 431 Franklin, I'm so grateful to be a part of this family, this group of people, because we share a common goal. We're people who are going to weep with you when things are going bad. We're people who are going to rejoice with you when things are going good. We're people who will encourage you. We're people who can share your weakness with and find strength to do better. We're people who will hold you accountable. Listen to me. We're going to hold you accountable for the way you're living or the way that you want to live, because you know how you ought to live. It's the kind of people we are. We're people who are going to pray for you and with you. We are people who care. So strengthen your heart and sharpen your vision as you look forward in 2026. And let's be about the family of God. Let's belong to the family of God. If we say we belong to the family of God, look, when I was growing up, people walked down the street all the time. They look at you and they say, oh, you belong to such and such. They knew who family you belong to. The world ought to know. They ought to be able to look at us and hear us speak and look at our behavior and say, you know what? You belong to Christ. That's your family. Ain't you that little boy from around the street? They know. And we know. We know whose family we belong to. We ought to act like it. Let's act like it. Because there's something about baptism that's even more significant than birth. And I got to tell you, as beautiful and as wonderful as the birth of our children were, it was nothing that could compare to my rejoicing when they were baptized into Christ. Because they entered into another family. It was a family of faith. And you have that choice. You can do that as well. Because in the church of Christ and the family of God, we share something in common with Christians all over the globe. Let me tell you how strange it is. Doesn't matter where you go, right? Overseas, Bahamas, Panama, Africa, Switzerland. Doesn't matter where you go. If you find the Lord's church, you're going to find family there. And there's a bond that you feel with those Christians. It just defies explanation, doesn't it? You can leave here right now and go to Kansas City, Missouri, into the Lord's church, and you will find a family there that bonds with you beyond explanation. Isn't that incredible? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts. How? In Christian love. In Christian love. Look, I don't know what your family situation is, and you can't know mine. If you ask me, I'll tell you, though. If you ask my children, they'll tell you, right? I don't know what your family situation is. You may have a large, loving, supportive family, or you might not have a family at all. Regardless, you have the opportunity to be a part of the most wonderful family on the face of this earth. Maybe this morning you need support of your brothers and sisters, and that's why you're here. I want you to know that there are people here who care about you with family. People who will do anything they possibly can to help you. I want you to know that that exists right between these walls right here. And if you're not experiencing that kind of relationship with the church, I want you to know you're missing out on something special. If you are not experiencing that kind of relationship with your brothers and sisters in this church, you're missing out on something special. Because if church is a place where you slip in the door unnoticed and you slip out unnoticed, you're not building any relationships. So I want to beg you in 2026 not to slip in unnoticed and not to slip out unnoticed, but allow us to embrace you and get to know you, right? Let's love each other together like we did when we were growing up as sisters and brothers in the house. We're not going to always disagree, because even tongue and teeth fight every now and then. But we still family. Am I right? Amen. We're family. Don't miss out on that. Don't slip in. Don't slip out unnoticed. Let's build relationships. Let's do it. Because if you don't, you're missing out one of the greatest blessings that God has offered to us. And perhaps what I've described this morning is inviting to you, and you'd like to be a part of that kind of family. You'd like to have that kind of relationship, and you certainly can. Just like the Samaritans, just like the Ethiopian eunuch, just like Paul, just like Cornelius and those Gentiles, the waters of baptism can bring you into contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where it's at. It can bring you into a family relationship that is stronger than anything you've ever, ever experienced. Some folks have expressed to me their willingness to be baptized. And I want to tell you right now, if you're willing to be baptized into Christ, when we extend this invitation, you walk down that aisle, side aisle, middle aisle, front aisle. You can go out the back door and come through there and still baptize you. But let it be known, that's your desire, to be a part of God's family. I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to dismiss. 1 John chapter 5. Listen to God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it's the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. He who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. He who does not believe in God has made him be a liar, because he does not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given to each and every one of us, that he is eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Who has a Son has life, and who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So these things, John says, I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. We're talking about family here. You know what your situation is. I don't know what it is. We need to hurry up and get it right. 2026 doesn't belong to us as much as we think it is. Some folks thought 2025 belonged to them. They're not here now. Amen? We need to get it right with our families right now. We need to get it right with God right now. Love covers a multitude of sins. If it's being a part of Christ's family is what you desire, we can help you with that as we stand and sing God's invitation song.
Come to Jesus, He will save you.
Will there be one today to respond to the gospel of Christ? Will you come and be baptized into Christ, into the watery grave of baptism, and be found in the body that He purchased with His own blood?
Will
you come?
Get white as snow. Come, come.
Whether you want to come to Jesus this morning, will you come?
Come, come today. Come to Jesus, yes. Come today. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come today.